And now I have the pleasure of inviting Mark Knights up. Mark, we love you. You're a father. You have the father's heart, and everybody around you just drinks of that and receives it. And we're so pleased that you're part of our family.
Okay. Hey guys. Awesome. Thank you. Sit down. Yeah, go ahead and let's cue the video. And for those of you that don't know, my name is Mark. I live in Cambodia. And one of the many things we do over there is we have a rescue home for girls called Esther's House, where we rescue girls out of trafficking, slave labor, and horrible abusive situations. And my wife did us a little 2-minute video to show you some of the girls in our home. We have 16 girls, and if you guys want to let it roll, that'd be great. Awesome. Yay. All right. It's good to be back with you guys. This is good. I've been talking a lot. You can probably hear it in my voice. Been back in the States for about 4 weeks now. And so forgive my little bit of a scratchy voice, but I won't scream and yell tonight. I've got a couple more, 3 more services tomorrow, so I'm going to pace myself through all this. It is great to be back with you guys. Actually, Cole and I are here, my oldest son, and my wife and my youngest are still in Cambodia, and we've had an influx of girls coming into our home in the last few weeks, so we felt that she needed to be there kind of as we were getting the new girls settled into the house over there, and so we miss them very much, and we're heading back in a couple weeks, but anyways, I wanted to share a couple stories. I just had something on my heart for you guys. But if you saw, I wanted to just give you a couple great stories and testimonies. You saw little babies in that picture. Awesome. I don't know if we had this little girl come in the last time I was here or not, but she's a 16-year-old little girl. She came in pregnant, and the father of the babies was her step-grandfather. Not nice situation. I'm not going to really focus on that. The point is that she's in our home. She had a lot of struggle, a lot of family pressuring her to not even keep babies. But this little mama was determined that nothing was going to stop her. Nobody, not even her closest family members, were going to stop her from having her little baby boys. And so she had twin babies. And so we've been taking care of her. And then there was an emergency where health problems came in, and she had to have an emergency C-section. And so while I've been here, I haven't got to see the babies yet, but just a couple weeks ago, she had to have an emergency C-section, and one little baby was just over 2 pounds, one was just over 3 pounds. And in third world countries, over here, medical is amazing, what they can do, but over there it isn't. And so it's a very different situation there and how those kinds of things are handled. Little 2-pound and 3-pound little baby boy, she named them Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, love it. And I just 2 nights ago got a new report. There have been some real struggles, especially with the smaller one. But just 2 nights ago, I got the greatest report. They're both doing well. They're gaining weight, and things are going great. Mom's doing awesome. Our house moms are working like crazy. We went over there. They don't take care of the babies in the hospital. So literally our moms have to come in and be the nurse. So they have to travel back and forth all the time to the hospital. There's no staff to take care of the babies. They'll let them lay there, but they don't take care of them for you like you would have nurses do here. There is none of that. So we take care of them there. And so now we've gotten them into a home. We actually rented a room right next to our girls' home because girls are girls. You know, our little girls will want to be all in there. So we rented a home room next door so the babies can have some quiet and the house moms don't have to travel as far. But they're taking care of them, and they're doing awesome. So we're so thankful for them. Continue to pray for Mama Sarah and Joshua and Caleb would be awesome. And then I had another great story and just something on my heart. I don't only have a couple minutes with you, but fun story of one of our girls, just something Jesus did. You know, our home, we get the best life over there. I tell people, you know, I really don't feel like a missionary unless, like, we have a short-term mission team visiting us or, like, I'm here in America. But when we're there just living in Cambodia, we really just there doing life. We really are in the sense of we're living life. I'm not there on a mission. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, about calling. But we're not really there on a mission. We're there because that's life for us. It's just life. It's not a missions trip, or it's not. We don't see it like that. I think I'd go crazy if I saw life like that. I would always yearn for something else, or maybe being back, or something like that. And just in the process, we just do life over there, and it's so fun. We really feel like we have the best life in the world to do what we get to do and see what we get to see. And in these little young girls' lives, it's really amazing. They come out of such traumatic situations. But we did recently, we had a team actually from Bethel come recently, and we had another team from the Bay Area, and they actually were there at the same time. It was a challenging time. Bethel brought about 67 people from their school of ministry, and then I had another team of five from a different group, but we had them at the same time coordinating everything, and it was a challenge. That's why Misha could not come back until that was over, so we would not allow it. So she was the only thing that kept me sane over there during that little season. But it was cool, and we really do appreciate Misha. She was awesome, so thank you for loaning her to us. And she did an amazing, amazing job with my family, with my children, with the girls in the home, everything. She was awesome. So, but it was interesting. We had these two teams, and one night, one of the Bethel team wanted to take them out to a water park. They just wanted to spend the day with them at the water park with our girls. So they provided us a nice water park, actually, in Phnom Penh. And we took them out, and they just swam, and they played all day long. And it was an amazing thing. And 2 points in this story, it's funny. Sometimes, it's funny. We had all these eager, like, enthusiastic, zealous school students there and used to just laying hands on everybody and all the stuff, which is all great. And we just spent this day, we just hung out at the water park. And I remember at the end of the day, some of them, they're like, oh, I just feel like we didn't do enough. We didn't do anything, you know? And I thought to myself, I usually think out loud a lot of times. It gets me in trouble sometimes. But I talked to them, you know, and sometimes we don't see our effect on people. And sometimes we think it looks like a certain way, and it needs to look a certain way, or dad has to show up in a certain way, or miracles have to be in a certain way. And it was really cool to watch as I was sitting there at this water park, and I saw this team of people that are strangers to these kids. They've just gotten to know them this week, but they're in this thing where they have this water coming down. It's like this big bucket kind of thing, and it fills up to the point, and then it dumps on everybody's head, you know? And so I see our little girls, and I see this team here, and they're like out there for hours, and it's just dumping. They're laughing and screaming. They're having such a great time. It was amazing. And I talked to the team. I said, you know, you realize that here's these little girls, and 1 week ago, this one little girl, she was beaten so bad, her whole face was bloodied, and eyes were shot, and horrible. And for me to sit there, like with a dad's heart, and just sit there and think, that trauma happened just a few days ago, and she's out there laughing, smiling. Dad was healing hearts through that day. He was moving. There was more healing taking place than could ever happen in just a moment of laying hands. Sometimes we like to do that. But I got to tell you guys something. There's something, a gift that we miss a lot of times in the church. We talk about community a lot. We talk about all these different things. We talk about gifts and healing and all this stuff. There's a gift that sometimes we miss, and it's called the gift of friendship. The gift of friendship is a very powerful gift, and sometimes we miss it. We're really good at the other stuff, but there's no app for that, you know? Friendship costs you something, but it's a powerful, powerful gift when you have it, because it takes your time. It takes all of you for friendship. And if you really think about it, and our girls, sometimes we want to come in with miraculous things for them. Really, what they need is a friend. And I saw on this day, I saw friendship. strangers that just came in to be their friend. And I saw tremendous healing taking place in that situation. If you think about it, I think about me when I'm in my lowest places. I'm in my most traumatic places. I'm devastated. I'm not looking for another prophetic word. I'm not trying to find out what the in worship music is right now. I'm not looking for a great sermon. I'm looking for who can I call? Who can I call? Who's going to be there for me and just going to be there? Not judge, just going to be there. I'm looking for a friend. And sometimes we don't put very much value on that. We put it on a lot of the other stuff. But anyways, it was a cool story. Excuse me. And at the end of the day, the team prayed for every single girl and all of our staff. And they lined them up outside and prayed for every one of them. One of our little girls went home that night after the team prayed and prophesied over her. And she went home and she had a dream. Jesus showed up in her dream, showed her a song, a worship song, one she knew. It was a worship song she knew, but showed her and choreographed a dance for her in her dream. Now, you got to understand, this little girl is very quiet, very reserved, not outgoing at all with all that. And she gets this. She doesn't tell anybody. The next day, we have this other mission team here, a very conservative team, not moving in gifts and all that kind of stuff, just a great team. And they wanted to come and have a movie day with the kids. Great. And so they did, and they got popcorn. They sat in front of a little TV, and they watched Moana. And you guys heard Moana? Movie. These girls don't. They have no clue what that is. There's no clue. They don't know Frozen. They don't know any of that kind of stuff. Nothing. And that little girl watched, after having that dream, she watched this movie of Moana. And during that movie, the Lord spoke to her. He showed her a little girl being powerful in her nation. She's never seen that modeled in Cambodia before because the women aren't powerful over there. They're kept aside. They're not ever in a place of leadership like that. She watched that, coupled with the dream she had that night before, transformed her life. She got done. That's when she, after the movie, then she told everybody, this is what happened last night. I had this dream. And then in front of everybody began to do this dance that Jesus gave her. And it's totally transformed her life since then. Pretty amazing. Yeah. I love that stuff. So I love those kind of just miracles of just life miracles, you know, so anyways, I just wanted to share those with you, and that I'll just finish it up with this, with you guys. I'm so appreciative to Pastor Brent being gracious. Yeah, it's okay. I made some notes during worship. It just that we're in a nation. We're there for the nation. You know, Dad gives us a couple commandments. He says, make disciples in nations, but he also says to make disciples of nations. Two very different things, but they're very, they go together. One carries the seed for the other. You can't really have the transformation of nations and disciple nations unless you're discipling in the nation, you know, but there is a difference between them. But we're really there. And the things we do, we're there for a nation. It's not just to see people in a nation know Jesus, but really to see the kingdom of heaven and its template almost come over a nation and see the kingdom of heaven be the norm in a nation. And so when we go to nations, that's kind of what we feel. So that's why the only way I can really do that, I'm not there on a mission. I'm just there to live life. And I want to live life, and I want to influence a nation. I'm not there on an agenda to get a bunch of people saved. And, you know, and I have my little Bible studies, things like that. There's times for that, and it's okay. But I'm just sharing my heart. When we're there, I see us there to how am I influencing this nation? And the best way I can do it is just be me in that nation. And say, okay, Dad, what do you want to do today? I have to be led by him. I can't go on my own agenda. Most of the time, just made some notes, so I just want to see. Most of the time, we view our assignment by our giftings. This I felt was for some. Many times, we look at our assignment in life and we base it through the lens of what we're gifted in. Jesus never called us to in our assignment by our giftings. It's important that we move in our calling. And your calling is not necessarily your gifting. It's really important you hear that tonight, I think, for some people here. For me, some people think that missionary life is a gift. It's not a gift. I'm not gifted for, you're just gifted for that. No, I've not seen a missionary gift yet. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not gifted for it, but I know it's my calling. Does that make sense? When we run in our gifting, it will bring honor to us, but when we run in our calling, it brings honor to Him. Giftings can have fruit. You can be successful with it, but it's really important that you walk and run in your calling in life. And your calling may not look like your gifts, and that's okay. That's okay, because when you're walking in the calling, that's when God's going to come through. He's got to. When we're over there, I'm over there, I'm not moving in giftings. I'm just not. And do I have giftings? Sure, I'm not negating your giftings. Not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's a whole nother level when you step out and say, okay, Dad, I'm going to move in this, and I have absolutely no talent in it. I have no education that backs up this. I have nothing that supports doing this. But, Dad, this is where I'm going because this is where you are, you know? And it's the greatest. If you want to influence, I don't know, you know, I believe if you really want to influence nations, you're going to have to walk in some weakness, you know? You can't just sit in your giftings all along. You're going to have to walk in areas, because I can't just walk in one area if I want to influence a nation. I got to influence many areas. And I'm not going to be skilled and talented and gifted in all those things. But, you know, going over there, that's kind of what we do. We just know we're called. And the nice thing about the calling is that there's nothing that's going to shake us. It just doesn't shake us. When my wife and I, when we're walking in what we know, it doesn't matter when I feel gifted in it or not. When I feel bankrupt and so unworthy and so not there, because it's not based on my gifting, it's based on a calling, I'm not shaken. Do we have I'm not saying we don't have our moments, but there is no thought of maybe we should quit. No, I mean, I've had other missionaries, been missionaries for a long time, say, what would you do if everything was gone? Do you ever think about quitting? I said, no, honestly, don't. If everything was gone, we just go find somebody else that's doing something and go help them, you know? I mean, and so there's just something about that. When you find that calling, sometimes giftings, we start bouncing from place to place, and we have ups and downs. So anyways, whatever that works for, when we are willing to walk in our weakness, it creates an atmosphere for Him to be glorified. I'll just finish with this, and it's funny. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir in this. But in that, when you find walking in your calling can be scary, it can be fearful in that, you know? And let me just say this to you. I'm just trying to give you some nuggets from my life that maybe will help you guys with something. It doesn't have to be something in another country. Find your calling. It could be a school. It could be a church. It could be whatever it is. It could be whatever it is. Find it. But when it's scary, here's the thing that helps me be who I am and do what I do, and that's one thing, and it's knowing that God's good. And I know if there's ever a church here in America that knows that, you guys do. He's a good father. He is, but hear me, He's a good father. That's what everything that I do and am and go is based on, that one thing for me in my life. I am constantly in areas where I am terrified. I am constantly living I'm living in a life where it's out of my comfort zone. It just is. Even while you've been over in Cambodia a long time, it still is. Do you love it there? Yeah. Do you miss America? Every day. It's not a gifting. Oh, you're so gifted. You just miss America. You don't even miss America. No, you miss. And there's things I'm facing and having to talk to people that are, you know, heads of ministries and heads of things and things that sometimes it's terrifying. Here's the thing. God is good. That's the one thing. I have lots of questions with God all the time. But there's one thing I never question with Him, is whether He's good or not. That is so rock solid, foundational in my life. That never, never wavers. And that allows me to take the risks I take, because I know that above all else, He is always going to be good. Even in mistakes, even in wrong turns, He will always, always be good in my life. And that is so important. Just like, you know, Peter, when he got out of the boat, right? I look at that and people, I talked to a lot of churches and people, and you know, so many people have an idea, you know, they love Jesus. They know Jesus is great. Oh, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. But we sometimes have this block with Dad, you know, like, Father's good. You know, I've talked to somebody who's been a Christian a long time, good friend and from another state. And we were talking about, she's like, no, I love Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior, but don't talk to me about a good father. My dad was horrible, right? But if we really look at the word, right, Jesus did what he saw the Father do, right? He said what he heard the Father say. Father's in me, I'm in him. When you see me, you see him, blah, 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 right? So whatever you see, if you can't have Jesus be good and Father not, it's not possible. It's just not possible. And I look at Peter, it really speaks to me. I know we talk about about the boat all the time, but I look at Peter get out of the boat. He took a risk. He got in risky water. It was probably terrifying. There was an invitation to all the disciples, but only one was willing to take the risk and get out of the boat. And yet, even in the midst of going down and sinking, I saw the heart of Father for him. Even in the midst of that risk, Father's heart in Jesus came and grabbed him out. And that's so profound in my life, that allows me to walk in the calling, even though I'm not gifted in it, because I know he's good. I think about one last example of that is my sons, when they're about 10, 11 months old, whatever they are, when they start walking, and we have stairs in our house, and they start to go down the stairs, and mom and dad are completely terrified and nervous about that, and they, you know, you start when they're crawling, and there's, you know, everything staggering, but then when I would take my son's hand and walk down the stairs, he was Superman all of a sudden, right? Turned into Superman. Now he could just leap off those stairs. No fear at all. I mean, he was going, look at me, Dad. What? Why? What was different? Same obstacles, same challenges. He just had Daddy's hand, and he knew Daddy was good. He knew Daddy wasn't going to let him go. Everything else was same. Nothing else was, everything was still just as traumatic, just as dangerous, just as tough. His skills didn't change, right? He just had his good daddy holding his hand. And for me, that's what allows us to walk in the calling we do, is because I know I got a good daddy holding my hand. It's not about the gifts and talents and all that, and it's not even about how dangerous it is or how not dangerous it is. Those things don't matter. Daddy, you got my hand. Then it doesn't matter how easy or difficult it is. It's all going to be okay. Does that make sense? Cool. So I'll see if I had anything else there, and I'm done. My voice made it to the end. I will have a cough drop and a drink of water. Thank you for clarifying. It's water. Okay, my last thing. When it's in the moment, I can remember what he's done. What he's done is important to me. When I'm in a moment of a battle, when I'm in a moment of a situation, David with Goliath remembering things. When it comes to the calling on my life and what my putting my whole life into it, not in a moment of a situation or a trial, but saying, okay, I'm going all in on this. This is where I'm going. This is a legacy. This is a destiny that I'm stepping into. It's less about what he's done, and it's more about who he is. It's really not about, oh, he's done this for me or that for me. That's in those moments. But when it comes to your life and making that decision, I'm all in on this. I'm going, Dad. I'm going for it. It's not so much about what he's done, really. I'm like, so what? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's that, but this is now. Yeah. It's not about that. It's not about what he's done. It's about a character of who he is that really matters in me stepping out and going for those things. So it's just some things to think about and to remember. Thank you guys so much for having me tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Awesome? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Thanks so much. Oh, no, I won't. That was so good. I've been so ministered to tonight. I think I'm done. I think I'm good. In fact, what I am going to share is kind of brief, and I feel it's, I love Holy Spirit. He's so good, and I love watching how the whole night was orchestrated when none of us knew what each other was going to do. And Mark, thank you for that. And I think we should just stop for a minute and pray, to say, Father, thanks for the tenderness of your heart through Mark, and God, you've gotten our attention tonight through him about wanting to make sure that our life is about what you have called us to. And not based on how you've gifted us, because the gifting, you knew what we would need along the way, but there's something that the gifts are for, something deeper, something we're alive for. And so I'm asking, because I think some people in this room kind of knew when Mark was saying it, others were thinking, Lord, what is that? What is that calling? And so I'm asking, Papa, we are asking as your kids, would you make that really clear? Would you make what we're alive for, the calling, the deeper purpose, the bigger thing. I don't know how else to say it, but the calling that you have for us, make it clear, God. Would you walk us into that? Just like Mark was talking about, like, you know, down the steps, bounding down the steps, holding onto your hand. Lord, saying, we're willing to go. We're willing. So, God, thank you that for some, there's already some things filtering through their spirits, their brains, thinking about it. And for others, God, thank you that in the coming days, weeks, even months, you're going to make some things really clear. Thank you, because it's your joy to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. That was good. And before that, favor, could have just stopped right there. We just had you preach tonight. Dang, that was so good. I mean, seriously, I felt liberated. That's when you ain't liber. Okay, that's when you know it has four syllables. I was liberated. I had to count them though first. And before that, Joel and worship team, oh my goodness. This song, I pour out my heart, you know, and we were all just, I mean, the Lord was on that song. And I don't know, you know, how many of you have been around a while to remember that song. For those of you that are younger or weren't saved back then, that was a really cool new song, wasn't it? Here I am once again, I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear. This is the good Father. Papa, I know that you hear every cry. Some of you need to know that right now. Is he really listening? Yeah, every cry. You are listening. No matter what state my heart is in. Man, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real. Oh my goodness, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. As I feel your touch, you bring a freedom to all that's within. In the safety of this place, I'm longing to pour out my heart. So good, so good, so good. So tonight, I'm going to do something a little bit different with the time we got left, and that's I'm going to walk you through a song. I have written songs, but this is not a song that I wrote. Doing this just to get ready here. This last week, it's funny. I talked to Joel right before worship. Joel, our worship leader tonight. And I said, you know, yeah, tonight I'm going to do something different. I'm going to actually play a old Vineyard song. He's like, no way, you know? I said, why? Well, because this week the Lord had me go back to the old Vineyard stuff, and we sang several of them tonight. I think some of that was inspired last week from Sean, you know, going back to the old Keith Green song that just, you know, Chris Burns, sorry, thank you, Chris Burns, someone. That was a week ago. One moment, please. Yeah. All right. I can still change this. There we go. That's what I wanted to do right there. And whoop. Okay. We're getting closer. So, this last week I was up in the mountains and I got away to write, and it was very productive. After, I don't know about you guys, but when I go away, first day or two is meh, you know, as far as productivity, because a lot of it is you're just tired from life, you know, and getting some rest and whatever. Then all of a sudden, just Holy Spirit kind of kicked in. But so much of it happened because I brought my keyboard and I brought all my old music, like from decades. And I started playing mostly all the old Vineyard stuff. There was a song that started to grip my heart, and I'm sobbing as I'm singing the song, and it's the one I'm going to sing tonight, Let Your Glory Fall, for you people old enough to know that song. And if you're not old enough, I'm going to introduce you to a brand new song. I'm gonna stop. What I'm gonna do is just do one stanza at a time and stop and talk about it briefly, and then we're gonna worship to it, all right? So for you who are like, can we just sing the song already? We're gonna get there. I mean, like, really get there in a minute. But let me say this before I start, that the thing that really, really gripped me and what has been talked about tonight a couple of times is how faithful God is, that. And we just read it in that last song. He hears every cry. He answers every cry. It's just that we don't always know it in the moment. And this was one of those moments. It was really mostly spirit to spirit, his spirit to my spirit. So I'm going to try to explain some things to you. I can't bring you back into all of it. That's not possible. But what I'm really trying to do is encourage you with the Lord's heart for you. Because we all have a history with him, and it's really rich, and it's inside of us, and it's a lot deeper than we remember. That's the way I want to say it, because we don't remember all the days, the moments, the turns, his faithfulness when you were feeling at the bottom, you know, all the things that made your heart just sing and soar at different times. We forget. We just forget all the different places he was there, but he doesn't forget. So let me just start. I'm going to start by singing this first verse. I think it's supposed to be up here behind me. So, yeah, Lord, as we sing this and as I talk, would you, Holy Spirit, just come and breathe real life into our hearts again and again. There we go. Much better. So the first stanza goes like this. Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the land. All of creation is longing for your unveiling of power. Would you release your anointing? Oh God, let this be the hour. And I remember singing this song, crying, wailing to this song. I remember different times in church services or sometimes sitting at home playing this, especially when it was new. You know, a lot of times when songs come out and they have that initial thing that just grips your heart. And I remember just sobbing to this song because my heart was longing to see the deeper things. And I guess what I want to say is my heart is so filled with hope that God was showing me in this song. The reason why I started crying just this last week is he said, Brent, you were crying that out 20 years ago. My answer was yes back then. And you're just starting to see the more of what you were crying out for back then. I mean, and, but not to miss, that plenty has happened since then. Like, things happen all the time. But he says, but when I look at Chris Burns, it came last week in the sound, and this is some of the answers to the cries we've been crying out for a long time. But understand that, and the reason why we said Tuesday nights, come and get our hearts ready, it wasn't, most of you have the skills. We got the gifts down pretty well in this church, most of you. We are going to teach a little bit about that, but mostly it's saying to us, let's get our hearts back in, engaged again. Because there's ways in which we've gotten discouraged, we said, Lord, we just haven't seen everything we wanted to see when we wanted to see it. And God says, stay in the game. Stay in the game, because I've actually already answered your heart's cry. It's here and it's coming. I want to encourage you, everyone in here, not to be discouraged on the days when you're not feeling it. Those are the tough days. It's easier on the days you're feeling it, right? We could all agree with that. It's what makes, even if you came here and it was hard, most of you leave Saturday nights feeling pretty good. Because you get all kinds of truth, right? You aren't always necessarily getting that diet every day. And what I want to say is just know that even on the days when you're not feeling it, that it's still happening, meaning his kingdom is still coming. He's still blessing your life, even when you're not feeling it. He's still working all things out for your good. All things, always, every day, it's still happening. And he's still answering, he's still answered your prayers, and he's still answering your prayers, even on the days you're not feeling it. I promise you that. All of creation's longing, we just sang that. Listen to this in Romans 8, 22 to 25 in the Passion Translation. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters. See, this is part of the reason why there's that, really that frustration inside of you at times. Including our physical bodies, also groaning to be transformed, for this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Here's what I want to say is that there's always a tension in God's kingdom, and the tension's built in, and it's right here. It's explained. And that is, we are always hoping for more because he's put that hope in us to want more. It's one of the reasons why, why Chris Burns has this passionate vision that we're all saying, yes, we see this as God, we're going to join you. That came from a hope within him. You all have hope. That means you keep thinking of the next things. You keep seeing the next things. Why is that? Well, it's built in you to give you that desire to keep going. And it's God-given. And here's the thing. It's not that everything is going to wait until the one day when we're with Jesus in heaven. So much is being fulfilled right now. But we're not thinking about the fulfillment often. Usually we're thinking about what's not yet fulfilled. And this is that tension. So he wants us to have that hunger for the more, but he also wants us to enjoy what's happening now and to enjoy your life right now. And I'm talking about even the little things of just you're out and you realize, I'm taking a breath. That is a miracle. I've got a body that works. I have the colors, the sounds, the smells. The miracles of life. He wants you to enjoy life along the way. That is a big deal to him. And he's going to keep putting this hope inside of you that knows there's more. That's what hope is. Not, I hope, gee, I wish, maybe there's more. No, he's putting something inside of you that knows there's more, which means there's always this longing. But he wants you to enjoy what you already have. Both things are true at the same time. All right, we're going to sing on. You ready? So it goes on, because we're going to sing this together in just a few minutes. I mean, sing it with me now, that's cool, but we're going to sing it all at one time in just a few minutes. So it goes on. Here's the chorus. So let your glory fall in this room, and let it go forth from here to the nations. And let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Gary, just a minute ago, talked about a fragrance. Do you remember that? What is that? I don't know. How do you smell God? I'm not sure, but I know exactly what he's talking about. There have been times when I know that. I was singing this song, and honestly, right there is really where I lost it. The part, let it go forth from here to the nations. Why? Because I want reminding you, I sang this, you know, 20 years ago, over and over, through tears. Lord, you know, we want this, your glory to go to the nations. Well, you know what? When I sang that, I think maybe I had been to two countries other than USA. I think Mexico, and maybe I put my toe in Canada for about 5 minutes to say I had been there. I think that was it. And since that time, I've been to many, many countries. You know, Israel 4 times, Uganda 4 times, Middle East, Brazil, Europe, lots of places. Now, I'm not trying to make this about me right now. I'm saying this. Our tears, he said, I'm going to give you the nations as your inheritance. That's is in Psalm 2:8. I'm going to give you the nations as your inheritance. There's a reason why he keeps putting nations on our hearts. So go back to your passion. I'm not saying you will necessarily travel to, you know, umpteen nations. I don't know what God has in store for you. But he puts certain nation, people groups on your heart for a reason. Even if it's for you to pray for their transformation. Maybe you will go. Maybe you will bless someone else who gets to go. You know, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that's part of the kingdom plan. He wants us to fall in love with all the people groups. So that no longer, and I love that, of course, we're in the Bay Area, and in this room there are many, many, many nationalities represented here. Yay, God. Because that's it. All of us together represent who he is, represent his heart. You know, God is not one nationality. I know you all know that, but I'm just reminding you of the obvious truth that his creativity and the collectedness of his heart of wanting to see all the variety and the not just different colors and languages, I'm talking cultures. You know, how different cultures see things and see life and do food and all of it, you know? It's God wove all that into the world. I know I'm making y'all hungry, huh? Yeah. Okay. So I'm just saying, I started to cry because this is where God said 20 years, right in that moment last week on the keyboard, he said to me, son, I heard those cries, I saw those tears 20 years ago, and I answered you then. It just took time for you to live it out. See, God's not in chronological time. So when he said yes to me 20 years ago, he was already with me every day of my life and the different places I've been and whatever. I'm saying this to encourage you. Because you've cried out prayers that you wonder, are they going to happen? God says, I heard you and I answered. It's still coming. The story's not over. Go to verse 2. God, you're good. Ruler of the nations. That he is. The world has yet to see the full release of your promise, the church in victory. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us, Jesus. Make us strong in your mind. Overcome our weakness, that we could stand up and fight. I know you're wanting to sing more. Right here, God so gripped me again about standing up and fighting, so much so that when I sung it the second time, a little awkward on a keyboard, but I was sitting and I got up and I'm pounding the keyboards way down here because, you know, it was that sitting position. But he was like, get up and fight. He's saying to all of us, get up. But I want to make sure you understand what the fight is, because he was making it crystal clear to me. The fight is not about taking on the devil. It's not what this is about. Jesus already won that one for you. The fight is about choosing to believe the goodness of God in the midst of the circumstances that don't look like it, choosing to stay in the game, choosing to believe you are good, you are good, you are good, even when I don't understand it. God, I'm staying in the game. I'm going to keep going. And I remember Todd and Karina preached this a while ago about perseverance, persistence, right? Staying in the game. This is such a big deal. The only thing the enemy's got is for us to try to quit, you know? And Mark just said it a minute ago. He says, I don't got all the answers. It isn't always like, it is not a vacation over there for him, okay? What he knows, though, is I have no other options. This is what I'm called to do. I'm going to keep going. And I'm saying to you, you're doing so much better than you think you are. You are touching people every day of your life, and you don't even know it usually because it's just who you are. Oh, I'm just being nice to people. Oh, I'm just giving counsel that's wise. Oh, I'm just fill in the blank. It's just who I am. It's what I do. Yeah, but keep going. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. We're winning, you guys. We're winning. The kingdom is coming. We're winning. And speaking of the kingdom coming, that's what this... you know what? I'm sorry. Let me read this verse. Oh, this is so good. Okay, this is the fight. This is the fight. I know, I got ahead of myself. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Hebrews 10, 36 to 39 in the Message says, so don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then when you were saved. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who's right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we are not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We will stay with it, and we will survive. Sounds like a song I know. I will survive, trusting all the way. Here is Psalm 27:14 in the Passion. David says at the end of it all, here's what I learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave, courageous, and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Now, I said it a minute ago, but the reason why we get disappointed, but it's because, see, disappointment carries within that word that we believe something didn't happen in the appointed time we thought it was supposed to happen. Disappointment. Yeah. And God says, I understand. I love you. You have no idea how good I am. You have no idea how brilliantly I'm weaving everything in your life together. Hang on. Story's not over yet. I won't disappoint you. Here's the bridge. Let your kingdom come. This is just always the right prayer. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth, because we will, the glory of your Son. So there you go. Before we actually sing this, I'm going to have you stand if you want to in a minute. But it's the glory of the Son. That's what this is all about, right? So we just do our part. We're all one. We're all together part of his story. History, his story. That's what we're doing. We're important, but he is the one who is glorified in all of this. So we just keep being who we are. Be who you are. Remember Tamim, live according to your original identity, your original function. God says, all I'm asking you to do is be who I made you to be. That is perfect for me. If you all do that, we're good. We're good because my kingdom's coming. My will be done through you. So I heard the women echoing. Absolutely. Thank you. Make sure you do that, because I can't do the let your kingdom come. I can, but it's hard, you know? Come on. Let's stand if you're able to. And would you, now that we just got some meaning behind these, I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, breathe, breathe, breathe on this. Breathe on us.
Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up chosen generation that will march through the land. All of creation is longing for your unveiling of power. Would you release your anointing?
His answer is yes already.
Oh God, let this be the hour. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Ruler of the nations, the world has yet to see the full release of your promise, the church in victory. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your mind. Overcome our weakness, that we could stand up and fight. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Again, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to see your face. We have gathered.
Thank you for your faithfulness, Papa. Thank you, God. You hear every cry. You've heard every cry we've ever uttered. every cry from our hearts, God. And you've answered. Lord, you've answered. You are outside of time. There are things in which you've answered we have not seen yet, because you said, I promise you, I have a brilliant plan. I know the perfect times to release the things that are on your heart, the things that I placed in your heart. So trust me. Trust me. I'm a good, good Father. And I believe that word about the nations is an important one tonight. And so I want to actually ask you, just make it a prayer in your lips again. Just remember, there are places, I believe for some of you, very specific nations that you know, wow, God has given me quite a heart for this people group, for this nationality of people. And even now, just tell the Lord again, God, thank you. You can start with thank you. That's a great prayer. God, thank you that the nations are my inheritance. And an inheritance, by the way, means you do not work for it. It means it's given to you. So just again, say, God, thank you. Thank you for these nations that you've placed on my heart. And just begin again. Put it in front of them again. Say, God, just start to bless this nation. That's a great start right there. Just bless the nation or the nations that he's placed on your heart, that people group. Ask him to visit these people. You know, all over the world, there's more and more stories of this man in white visiting people in their sleep. Jesus coming all over to people. So just ask God's Spirit to be poured out, for Jesus to come and visit the people of this nation. Because I'll tell you also, the more that you have his heart for the nations you want to go to, that's like, you know, taking that step. That's like getting his heart. And he says, that actually is the bigger deal to me, that you go with my heart for these people. The Lord's showing me, because there's so much going on in the Spirit right now. There's lots happening. And I believe the Lord's showing me that for some of you right now, there's honestly, really for the first time, something is birthing in your heart as far as the nations. Wow. Something's birthing in your heart. That means you're feeling something you hadn't felt before. Something's clicking. So, Lord, I breathe on that. I say, Holy Spirit, breathe on that. Breathe on that. On that living word. That living word. We're alive for such a time as this. The Lord wants you to know, you are alive for such a time as this. He knew exactly when he wanted you here. And he says to you, my child, understand something. My kingdom is here in more of its fullness than at any other time in history, in human history. And you are alive for it. You are alive for this time. Yeah, it's okay to be excited. And he says to you, he says, I know that every day doesn't feel like that. I get it. I actually know. I know all about you. He says, it's okay. Days you're not feeling it, it's okay. But trust me, my spirit hasn't gone anywhere. Wow. And trust me that you are still powerful beyond measure because I have placed myself in you. And when you're holding my hand, as Mark said earlier, you are Superman to me. You're my little Superman, my little Wonder Woman. This is who you are when you have my hand. Hold on to my hand right now. Take a hold. Don't lose heart. I'm right here. And I believe in you. Yeah. I know you tell me all the time that you believe in me. I'm saying I believe in you.
Just a couple things. One specifically for my brother right here. Just have a word. Yeah, is earlier in worship, you got the Lord showed me for you that you are an intercessor to the nations. He showed me you almost going in whether it be a trance or day, just dreams, is going, and he'll show you the nations. He's going to show you the mountains of the nations, and you'll bring declaration of the heaven to those mountains, to those areas of influence in those nations. But I see him very specifically giving you nation after nation, not just one, but many. And when he shows you, he'll show you the places and bringing it in. You're very significant. You're as if a missionary. You're going in front. You're going before. You're going alongside to these nations. There's people over there that you haven't even met, but they're waiting for you to answer that call and walk in that calling on you. It's very specific. Be very direct. And it's all just releasing what he shows you for that nation. Kingdom of heaven for that nations. Cool, cool, cool. Awesome. Awesome. This is just corporately something I felt. I was recently with Daniel McCullum recently, and we're talking about the sounds. And every nation has a sound. Every nation has a sound. And I just felt like for tonight, the dad wants to release the sound of nations in this place. He wants to release sounds of nations. And the funny thing that I'm learning lately, I've been very intrigued by it, is about frequencies and how when two different objects have the same frequency and they come together, they begin to dance together and they begin to move together. They actually begin to do things that are completely impossible to be done in the natural when they come in the same frequency together. And so I just want to release sounds of nations over this place here, that you would carry sounds of nations, that even when you catch the frequency of a nation, no matter where you are, when you start moving in that frequency, you will be aligned with it. There's an attraction that comes together, and you begin to dance with that other frequency. You begin to dance with that nation. And so I don't know exactly what that means, but that was what I was feeling in my heart tonight, just to release the sound of nations over you tonight. So Father, I just say tonight, let the sound of heaven roar. Let the sound of heaven flow. Let the sound of the nations go from this place to this place. Let these hearts be so captivated by the sound of the nations, Lord. Let them hear the frequency that you have for the nations of this earth, Dad, and for those hearts, that there be an attraction to it. And Father, as we move in those frequencies, Dad, that there would be, that we would begin to move in a dance, that we begin to move in a dance, and that we would begin to do the impossible, that we would move in an impossible realm, that we would do things and accomplish things that we could never do on our own because we're working and moving in the sound of that nation, Lord. Thank you, Papa. So I just release the sound of the nations in this place tonight. Sound of the nations in this place tonight. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Ooh, yeah. Some of you are feeling it. Some of you are feeling it. It's got a shape. It's tangible. You're feeling it tonight. Don't miss it. Don't be afraid. Daddy's good. Daddy's good. Daddy's good. You can trust him. Thank you, Papa.